Welcome to Frame of Reference, informed, intelligent conversations about the issues and challenges facing everyone in today's world. In-depth interviews with Sauk County's leaders and professionals to help you expand and inform your frame of reference. Brought to you by the Max FM Digital Network. Now here's your host, Raoul Labrèche.
Well, we're back for our fourth episode with Mr. Tom Eggert. I'm going to introduce him by saying Google Tom Eggert, T-O-M-E-G-G-E-R-T. He doesn't have a .com, but he does have a .org, I believe, for Wisconsin Microfinance.
Correct.
Right, is the name of the agency. That was something you came to kind of later in your life, right,
correct,
Tom?
Yep.
So, and those of you that don't know microfinancing, I think a lot of people do, but explain in 60 words or less,
sure,
not as many words as you need. What is microfinancing and how is it significant in today's world?
So microfinance was taking the idea of finance, which is banks making loans to folks to help them grow a business, which is part of the American way, and applying it to people living in poverty that have no collateral, that have no credit history, and saying, yes, we can make small loans to these people to help them, you know, start a business, grow a business, plant a crop, buy some small animals that they're going to grow into large animals, and start them on the road to economic development. Because as people living in poverty, they have basically no access to capital, to
sure,
money.
Sure.
And so it is simply saying, we can provide access to capital that can then help people help themselves. It's the, you know, use the example before, giving somebody a fish or teaching somebody to fish. So we're participating in the teaching somebody to fish.
Okay. Sort of. How did you get that idea? I mean, was that something that was a culmination of a bunch of different experiences in your life?
So it was, you know, spending all of this time talking with businesses. And again, it's not my background.
I mean, sure,
if I'd have known what I was going to end up doing, I'd have pursued an MBA instead of an MPA, you know, sure, and the P being public administration.
Right.
I thought I was going to end up teaching about the role of government.
Well, and you had a JD already. I mean,
yes, right. So it's a deep belief in business and in capitalism and in the power of finance and microfinance. So oftentimes our response, our first inclination when we are presented with pictures on TV of babies dying of, you
right,
know, malnutrition,
right,
or a natural disaster that has gone through an area, is send them some money. Aid is the appropriate response. And I'm totally on board with the use of aid in times of emergency, extreme crisis, right? And it is, you know, sort of the generosity of people that allows aid to make such a difference. But I would argue to you and to the listeners, I don't think aid is a long-term strategy, mm-hmm, for helping. And again, we primarily work in the developing world. For helping very poor people in the developing world, you know, sort of lift themselves out of poverty.
Right.
And the one way, and it's certainly not the only way, but one way that we in this country can make a difference to folks living in another country that are living in poverty and living in situations that we can't even imagine, is to provide them small amounts of money, and almost to a person in the developing world, they're all entrepreneurs. They all have ideas,
sure,
for what they could do to make some money, to improve the living conditions of their families. And what they lack is access to that money. And
sure,
we're not talking thousands or tens of thousands of dollars. We're talking less than $100.
Sure.
We're talking, you know, $50 loans or $75 or $100 loans.
Right.
And the amount of difference that small amount of money makes to an entire family, and by empowering families, entire communities,
right,
is unbelievable.
Right.
So we started our program in Haiti after the earthquake in 2010. So we made our first loans in the summer of 2010. I went and visited in 2011. And then I went back in 2013. And the community had changed dramatically just between those the visit in 2011 and 2013, whereas before it was an agricultural community. It was essentially just a crossroads, and there was a church and there was a market at the crossroads. And when I came back in 2013, there was a school, there was a health clinic, and there was a government assistance building. So the government was interested in support and helping development. And I talked to the community leaders, and they said, this is all because we developed this microfinance program, mm-hmm. that we suddenly attracted the interest of others, of, you know, a school, of
hopefulness.
Of a healthcare.
It sounds to me like there yeah. was, that you infused hope into people that they could make a difference and change things.
Right. And not only just change things for their family, but change things for their community.
Right.
And not out of, you know, sort of a sense of responsibility for the community. It's just as families become more successful, mm-hmm. there's more money available
sure.
for purchasing things, for, you know, for growing, for economic development within the community. And it just happens. It's
sustainability.
Not, yeah, right. It's not that anybody's yeah. forcing them to do this. It's just, think about, you know, if you allow people to become more successful, or right. empower them to become right. more successful,
right.
You know, it has, of course, it has impacts on people around them. People around them want, I've got some ideas that
sure.
I could start a business too.
Sure.
I never thought you would be successful, but if you're successful, I know I could
right.
be successful.
Right. Whoa, get out of my way.
Yeah.
I would be more successful than you.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
yeah. Well, and, you know, it's interesting because I keep having this thought of what's good for all of us is good for every one of us.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is, and it's interesting because that's so, in some ways, it's diametrically opposed to what's good for me.
Yeah.
It's good for everyone.
Right.
Well, no.
Right.
You have to start the other way around, it strikes me, that, you know, and we may have had a bad backroads version of, it's good for me, it'll be good for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, so I will weave this back into the microfinance discussion. But when you look at the growth of income inequality in this country, and, you know, sort of there's more and more wealth being concentrated among fewer and fewer people.
Mm-hmm.
And this
mm-hmm.
isn't political. This is just factual.
Right.
We know
look
that this
data,
is right.
See.
This is the case. My question then for that small group of people with all of that wealth that generally are running companies,
mm-hmm.
who's going to have enough money to buy the stuff that your company is selling if you are sort of accumulating, if all of the wealth is accumulating at the top?
Right.
Yes, I suppose if you sell basic foodstuffs or, you know, basic clothes, yeah, regardless of how much money people have, they'll still buy. But there's an awful lot of stuff that people buy,
right. know,
cars, boats, right. outboard motors, fishing equipment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of that stuff, if the middle class disappears and all we have are either poor or rich people – there aren't simply enough consumers to support the businesses that keep the rich people rich. And
sure.
so it goes
sure.
back to your point, by everyone succeeds together. I mean, if we have no consumers,
right.
we don't have businesses.
Right.
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 And the people that run those businesses are left out at that point. So,
sure.
I mean, apply that then to the microfinance idea in the communities that we're working with. By having the communities grow together and develop together, everyone benefits.
Sure.
And
sure.
the community becomes better. And we introduce the opportunity for education into the community. And we introduce the opportunity to have your illnesses treated or your injuries treated. Whereas before, you probably didn't have an opportunity to get your kids educated. The nearest school was too far away. Or if somebody was really sick, they were just going to you know, hopefully get better, but we weren't going to be able to get them access to medical care. It was too expensive. We simply didn't have the ability to get them to a hospital or a clinic and then pay for treatment.
Okay. Well, I we were talking a little bit before we even started recording that one of the fundamental differences between your organization and, say, like Kiva is that you were started from the get-go of being an organization where there was no guarantee of payback.
Right.
This is, in some ways, just a charitable organization where the money does perpetuate itself. The money that is donated is sustainable, but it just goes into sort of a group fund to continue to be administered to other people.
Yep.
So the principle is really not about a contributor making money, but a contributor essentially being an angel.
Correct.
Or, you know, just as you would be for an arts organization, you don't expect a dividend back from the money you give to River Arts Inc.
Right.
You just have the joy of seeing them perpetuate and continue to do well.
Exactly.
Right? Okay.
Right. Exactly. So, yes. So the money doesn't go over to one of our partner countries or partner organizations and disappear. It enters a revolving loan fund. So the money is lent out. It's paid back with interest. That money is lent out again. So your $100 donation easily could lead to thousands of dollars of loans that are made over time.
Okay. So is there, and I'm assuming you're seeing that growth because you started out in Haiti.
Yep.
You also served the Dominican Republic.
Yep.
The Philippines.
Yep.
And then you were seeing a fourth country.
We just opened a program. Well, we signed all the paperwork for a program in Ghana.
Okay.
We have not sent them the money yet, but at their request, we haven't sent them the money yet. They're lining up the loan recipients currently.
So, we now have four countries. Do you anticipate this is going to keep on growing and growing and growing? Is that the hope that there'll be no microfinance need will be unmet?
There is so much need right now. So yes, it is our hope that we will continue to grow. We were really close to opening a program in Afghanistan just before the U.S. pulled out.
Oh gosh.
And we were working with a British group that was active in the northern part of the country. All of our loan recipients were going to be women. The Taliban had a good relationship with this British group, was supportive of the idea that we would help women, you know, succeed and do better. And then the U.S. pulled out and sort of the rules changed.
Everything went kablooey.
Right.
So,
you know, maybe at some point in the future – I mean, we have a wonderful partner that we could work with. The politics just don't work in Afghanistan
right,
at this
right.
point.
Isn't it sad that there are people that continue to profit off the misery of others, essentially, is what it seems to come to.
Right.
And it could be so much more.
Right.
It could be so much better. I love the fact, too, that your organization focuses on loans to women, which I'm sure there are listeners out there who are like, kind of thing. But explain to me how that decision came about.
So there are actually a number of academic studies of women in the developing world, I mean, sort of being the centers of the family. I mean, the success of the family is on the women's shoulders, even though the men are making the money. But men are not feeling the same responsibility for the family as women.
Sure.
And oftentimes, in most of the developing world, this is the case, women are excluded from the financial systems that are at work. And they're all met. You know, as all of our listeners know, women are very busy doing all the things that they do.
And
then
keeping everything going.
Correct. I was going to say those same words.
Yeah.
And so the studies that were done were found that if you give a woman, you know, $50, she will use that to the benefit of her family. If you give a man $50, he oftentimes will not use it for the benefit of the family. And so,
like me, I'd buy Star Trek stuff.
Yes, right.
So.
Just don't invest in cryptocurrency. So our focus has been 80% of our loans go to women. And I think that has been a big reason for the success that we have seen in the three countries that we're operating in, soon in the fourth country that we're operating.
Okay. So let's really go utopia here.
Yeah.
Give me some specific anecdotes, some stories of specific people that have gotten a microfinance loan, mm-hmm. and what has happened, the fruits of that thing. Because I think of like the stories I've read. I think it was a Kiva project of a woman who wanted nothing but a goat.
Yeah.
And you
those
know
thought, the kind of stories.
Why a goat? And then I realized, well, the hair of the goat was usable for one thing. The yep. milk from the goat was right. not only good for milk but for cheese.
Yep.
So there was this whole economy,
and that, you get little baby goats,
right?
Out of
exactly. The, so she, yeah. you know, before very long at all, this woman was feeding her family, feeding relatives, yep. feeding parts of her own little village.
Yeah.
And it was just a joyful process of. All it took was a goat.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever that goat cost, $100, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't remember that part. But so yeah. stories like that to make people go, gosh, let's change the world, please.
Yeah. So, I mean, but that is exactly the level of business that we're talking about in for our loan recipients. When the program that we opened in Haiti, originally most of our loans went to women that used the money, went down to the market in Port-au-Prince,
okay.
bought things that they know they would be able to sell if they brought them back to Bal-Michal, which is the community that we were located in,
because
okay. it was a four-hour ride. And so it was simply going into the market, buying things, coming back to the local market and selling things, and then figuring out what's the markup that covers my transportation costs, sure. allows me to pay the loan back, and actually allows me to keep a little bit of money.
Sure.
And so, you know, this is all business acumen, right? That
right.
That these people are learning.
Right.
How do you price it at the correct amount so that all of this happens? And what about losses? And how do I account for that? And so it's learning as you're sort of living it. You know, goats were popular. Water buffalo are even more popular.
Wow. Okay.
You know, water buffalo are, you know, the equivalent of work animals, but they also, you can get milk from them. They're a status symbol, you want the female ones because they're going to have babies.
So they're the Ferraris of that neighborhood?
They are. Wow. Measuring your wealth through water buffalo.
He's
yes.
got three water buffalo. Ooh, I want to be him.
So. And oftentimes a dowry for a daughter is a water buffalo.
Interesting.
So, and that makes her much more desirable and much more valuable.
Mm.
So
that would be simpler. I think that should happen in America too, where, you know, before I say yes to your engagement proposal, how many water buffalo do you have?
Yes.
So, yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm. There's some simplicity there that appeals to me. So that's one story. What about, what's going on in the Philippines? What are some great things that have happened there?
We have a lot of people that turn material into clothes, okay. not fancy clothes that are going to be sold overseas, but that meet demands in the local community. Clothes for kids, clothes for special events, clothes for women that are just not available. All you need is a sewing machine and some material for something like that.
Sure.
Opening little stores. They call them sari-sari stores in the Philippines. And so it's the equivalent of what we used to call corner stores.
Okay.
And so within every small barrio, every small village, there's a number of sari-sari stores. And they have the soap or the shampoo or the rice or the last-minute ketchup that you forgot that you didn't have.
Sure.
Or, you know, whatever.
Sure, sure.
And are critical in the communities that they exist in.
Okay.
There are stories of piggeries and, a woman buying a pig, and pigs are very desirable.
Sure.
And
pork just ask Babe.
Yeah.
That'll do, pig.
That's
that'll
right.
do. Yeah. There you go.
The point of all of that is just to say we're not talking about, people wanting to start selling solar panels in rural communities in
sure.
the developing world.
Sure.
I admire people that want to do that and for organizations that support that stuff, but that's not who we are. We're also not supporting any loan recipients, primarily women, that are making stuff for export.
Okay.
There are good reasons to do that, and there are people that make a good amount of money from doing that. But once you export something, it's lost to the community. We want what's being made to be useful within the community because that supports the development
sure.
within the community.
Sure.
If you're selling, you know, rice or clothes or milk or, you know,
makes sense.
Seedlings or whatever, right. it helps the community
right.
And you also are, you know, you're helping yourself. You're making money that you otherwise wouldn't have been making.
Sure. So. Well, yeah, you're strengthening entire communities, not
correct.
Yeah,
it keeps returning to that refrain that we've been talking about.
So,
yeah.
So then, Dominican Republic, same stories.
Brand new program for us. We just made our first loans in June. The community we're working in is La Piedra, which is just outside of the capital, which is Santo Domingo. It's a mixed Haitian and Dominican community. So Haiti and the Dominican Republic are on the same island of Hispaniola.
Mm-hmm.
It's Hispaniola.
Yep.
Haiti is in the western part. Dominican Republic's on the eastern part. Most people from the U.S., what they know about the Dominican Republic is Punta Cana because it's this great tourist location and a lot of people go and vacation there. There are non-tourist areas that are struggling mightily, as I'm sure everybody can imagine.
Sure.
And so this is a kind of a rough agricultural area. It's sort of subsistence level. People grow a little bit that helps meet their needs. But could we, through some loans, help them develop their agricultural systems more
sure.
that they can grow more than what they need and so they sure. can actually sell some of their what they're growing and bring in some income?
Same story anticipated in Ghana?
Same story anticipated in Ghana, although a very different infrastructure that we're working against. The villages there, these are very traditional villages run by tribal elders. And I mean, think about how we envision, you know, tribal elders that
sure.
their rule, is, you know, sort of how the village goes.
Right. And they're not elected officials.
And they are not elected officials.
It's almost like the old fiefdoms.
Yes.
You know,
right.
A lot of ways.
Right.
So you have to work through each of those individually?
Through each individual village, which has its own group of elders in the village, that then, you know, what are the appropriate kinds of things that we could fund?
Okay.
So,
again, focusing on women,
focusing on
what will be good for your community, which I would think any group of tribal elders would see the value of.
Yes.
This will be good for all of us.
Yeah.
So, including us.
Including us.
So,
yeah.
Okay.
So to get involved, it's just simply wisconsinmicrofinance.com. There's descriptions of each of the programs, the four programs. I mean, we just asked what we call case studies. So there are case studies on the website
sure.
that tell the story about some of the individual loan recipients. We are, in fact, it might just be up today. I think we are among the first microfinance institutions in the world that we've been surveying loan recipients before a first loan, before a second loan, before a third loan, and we're looking for improvements in quality of life so that we can tell a story that, yes, putting somebody on this treadmill of taking out a loan, paying back a loan, taking out another loan, paying back a loan, actually does lead to improvements in the family. And so what we found is that we went from one or two meals that included meat a week to three or four meals that included meat a week.
Okay.
From one or two meals per day to routinely three meals a day. And, you know, a number of, you know, sort of very simple quality of life indicators
sure.
that, yes, people that are participating in the loan programs are in fact better off,
sure.
that we haven't just put them through the system of take out a loan, pay back a loan, take out a loan, pay back a loan, and they come out the end of it and they're really no better off.
Right.
In fact, they are better off in measurable and in substantive sort of ways.
Sure, sure. So the interest on the loan is, are you in fact improving lifestyle,
What
a great measure. I would like to see that with our, you know, I keep thinking about this. Is there room for microfinance in the United States?
There is, yes.
Instead of just handing people money, which, you know, in some ways I think the stimulus program was perhaps not as wise as it could have been.
Yeah.
It was nice to kind of give everyone a kick in the butt, but had there been some sort of impetus where you had to invest that somehow? You know, would that have been,
right?
You know, would that have been paid more dividends, if you will?
I think there are huge opportunities in this country. And we were actually approached a number of years ago about working with the Hispanic women that are married to dairy workers. So in the southwestern part of the state, there are a number of dairies, and the majority of workers at those dairies are Hispanic.
Yep.
And so, you know, the men are busy during the day, the women are not. Could we develop a microfinance program that would, again, empower women to start businesses of their own?
Sure.
So we were all on board, but we can't offer loans of $50 in this country.
Right.
And so the magnitude of the difference in what was a small loan overseas versus what was needed here, we simply didn't have the capacity to raise that much money.
Well, that's where the Gates Foundation
correct.
And Mr. Bezos need to step up to the plate and
right.
say, this will be good for all of us.
And it's a model that's been proven.
Yeah.
I mean, it would work if we simply had the infrastructure to
right. Well, I think of that like in the inner city, and here I am with my idealist coming
right.
on. But, you know, people talk about the drug problem, and I try to put it in human terms and say, okay, look, if you were a young African-American kid in some of these areas of the inner city, where you're pretty much forgotten about or ignored by the rest of the world,
yeah.
and you have an opportunity to either work at McDonald's for $15 an hour or sell Coke or crack for $50,000 a month, what are you going to choose?
Yeah.
You know, so could there be, you know, an opportunity? I think a lot of, if not most people would say, if I just had a chance, if I got this idea I think would work,
right.
if I could just get a loan,
yep.
but they're never going to get a loan.
Yeah, right. They won't. But, I mean, as you observe, I mean, drug people that traffic in drugs are entrepreneurs, right?
Yeah.
So they have the entrepreneurial spirit. If we just redirected it into something that society valued and could use,
right.
give them the same, you know, sort of benefit of
well,
know,
in
what they're
fact,
doing.
And unfortunately, society does value and use what their entrepreneurial yeah. spirit, you know, so that's a whole different issue, isn't
right.
it?
Right.
A final question, and
yes.
this is how we always wrap things up.
All right.
What's and I, you know, it seems like duh, this is it. But when all of this is said and done, you're well into your third phase of your career, or the
yes.
18th. I lost track when
yeah.
you were discussing all the things you did. But let's project ourselves 20, 30 years into the future. You are in your final days.
Yes.
Okay. Who knows, right?
Yeah.
But. What's the thing you want people to remember? If we're you know, remembering Tom Eggert, what do you hope is said?
So we talked about the Wisconsin Sustainable Business Council, and when I transitioned it off, the board was so gracious in creating an award named after me. So it's the wow. Thomas Eggert Leadership Forward Award for business leaders that are positioning their businesses with a vision for the future.
Sure.
So that has meant so much to me as far as kind of this legacy stuff that will carry on. And it's not that I'm not super passionate about the microfinance work
sure.
that we do, and we probably will impact more people through the work that we do with microfinance. I just don't know most of those folks, right? Even
right.
when I visit a country, you know, once a year, once every couple of years,
right.
I don't ever get to know anybody but the partners that we're working with. And so,
sure.
yes, we are changing lives. We are bringing about economic development in those communities. But it's kind of at arm's length, and I don't have the same connection with them as I did with the business community and the business leadership
sure.
in this state. And
sure.
So,
I so. Think about how you know, my friends will remember me one way and my family will remember me differently. You know, and you wonder, you know, who's going to have the accurate picture, right? But you're right. I mean, the Thomas Eggert Award for Business Forward, that's
– yeah.
those people knew you. Enough to want to have that award. So,
yeah,
that's yeah. And who should win it?
So I think I've actually had a role in helping decide that in the past. And there have clearly been some people that over the last 20 years have been kind of stand. I mean, they stood out. They're luminaries in this field. And so everyone that has won it up to this point, I think certainly qualifies in my mind as one of the sort of the I don't know, seminal thinkers and luminaries. And
so it hasn't turned into a, well, he's got to win it, even though he doesn't.
Right.
So, yeah, it's not like the Oscars quite yet.
Quite yet. That's right.
Well, I hope and pray, Tom, that that never becomes the case, because having met you and seeing you're the real deal, I would hope that that would not besmirch your legacy.
Thank you.
Let's keep it what it was intended to be. So,
thank you so much.
Tom,
thank
such
you
for an honor to, to talk with you. You know, you reached out of nowhere, and you know, just like a lot of things, you don't understand when things are presented to you. But I, just a real honor, just a, such a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you so much.
I hope the people that listen to this will contact you if they want to get to know more. We've already talked about microfinancewisconsin.com.
Yep. Wisconsin Microfinance, right?
Wisconsin, other way around. Any other, if somebody wants to help, is there some other way you would encourage them to reach out?
So I think reach out through the website. There's a contact information. It's all me.
Okay. So, you're the guy doing it.
Yep. Okay. So when it says, yeah, someone from the website will, or someone from the organization, it'll be me. So that it's the best way to reach me.
There's no Girl Friday or anything.
Gotcha. So we're an all volunteer organization. Okay. We commit on the website. 90% of all the dollars that we get actually are turned into loans.
Okay.
So it's a very, you know, sort of very efficient organization.
Excellent. And you can see where can people see where their money goes to specifically, or is it just generalized?
So not as specifically as with Kiva. So you don't get to pick your individual loan recipient.
Okay.
You do say, all right, this money was donated here. It turned into this group of loans in Ghana, in Philippines, wherever.
Gotcha. So, folks, my guest for the past 4 weeks, actually, well, 3 weeks, including this week, makes 4 weeks, but it's been Tom Eggert. Tom is a lecturer for the University of Wisconsin. He's been a lawyer. He currently is the founder of Wisconsin Microfinance. And I think there may be yet another career move for you at some point, Tom. I don't get the feeling. It's kind of like there's a song, I'm only getting started. Yeah. I kind of feel like that's the situation with you.
I am open for opportunities.
As is obvious. Yes. So thanks, folks, for tuning in for this week's edition of, I forgot this show, for Frame of Reference. Goodness gracious, I'm so excited about things. But tune in next week. I believe we're going to be talking with Mr. Jeff Wright with the Sauk Prairie School System, talking about challenges in education. So I hope you can join us then. And continue listening. Remember to go to www.4sauk.com and let us know what you thought about this show. And I can pass information on to Tom if you're interested, but let us know things you'd like to hear and have us talk about here. Okay? Take care. Thanks for listening to Frame of Reference on WRPQ 99.7 Max FM's Digital Network.